And this is a common story for a lot of writers out there. You earn a living by teaching in an MFA program, and you write on the side. Over the past decade or so, MFA programs, grad schools for creative writing, have exploded. There are hundreds of them now, and they're not just graduating, but also employing a lot of writers. Chad Harbach is a novelist who went the MFA route. He's also a co-founder and editor of the literary magazine N+1, and he thinks that what we're seeing is the rise of an entirely new literary culture.
You know, the path that has existed for a while and that's still here today is, you know, a young person dreams of becoming a writer. They move to New York. And even if they don't think of it this way, it's because that's where the publishing industry is. That's where the editors are. And that's where the books get made.
So you make the case that today, however, there's a second literary world or literary culture that's spread out across the country, MFA programs.
Yeah, MFA programs, a fairly new phenomenon historically, but growing rapidly. It's an industry that's expanded, you know, so now you have PhD programs in creative writing, you have these kind of postgraduate fellowships in creative writing, and part of what's driving that is a huge culture of undergraduates who are studying creative writing, you know, either as a one or two sidelight courses or actually majoring in creative writing. You know, there's an awful lot of that, and there wasn't an awful lot of that 30 or 40 years ago. You know, so that's kind of the bottom of this pyramid, if you will. All of these undergraduates who are now taking creative writing classes who are being taught by the MFA students and also by the former MFA students who are now, you know, published writers and MFA professors.
So what's happening? Is it just that there are that many people, many more people now who dream of becoming published authors?
Yeah, on the colleges, on the universities part, I think it just has to do with tapping into this fact that students like to take creative writing courses.
And their parents, you know, will pay for it.
And their parents will pay for it. Yeah. And there's a little bit of a cynical way to look at that because I did an MFA at the University of Virginia and I had a kind of mixture of students. When I was a graduate student, I had no idea how to teach. I was teaching this introductory level course and I was doing the best I could. And I had wonderful freshman and sophomore students in my course. And some of them were there because they really wanted to do this thing. And some of them had just heard that creative writing classes were the easiest classes you could possibly take.
But so I think what you're really saying, to be more serious, is that it used to be there was pretty much kind of one major pathway toward becoming a writer, a professional writer, somebody who could earn a living publishing books. And now there are at least two main paths. So either you get a job teaching writing at an MFA program and that pays the bills, or you live in New York, you write best-selling novels, maybe Oprah adds you to her book club, and your paperbacks sell in Target.
Yeah, there are now kind of two major ways in which writers make money, through the university system and through the publishing system. That's how writers get paid today.
And how does that play out, or what effect does that have on those of us who are readers? I mean, does this make a difference to the kind of books that we all get to read?
You know, from book to book, I think it doesn't make a difference. I think that the changes for readers are things that are kind of happening slowly in a sort of geologic way, and that has to do less with whether you have an MFA or whether you don't than the fact that our literary culture has, to a large degree, kind of shifted into the university. And I think that that has long-term effects on the way that people write.
How so?
For a workshop, you want to be handing in these kind of self-contained things. The workshop is structured around that, and that's where the workshop makes sense. Like you turn in a draft of a sort of complete thing, and you get feedback from people, and the feedback that you get from one or two of those people is very valuable to you. But if you're trying to write a novel, and you know, the process of writing a novel is like a process of very slow accretion, where you just have to go day by day and just kind of add another piece of paper onto the stack. And you don't really want feedback along the way. You want to be in this kind of deep groove. So for me, when I was in an MFA program, I wound up actually putting my novel aside for a long time and saying, okay, I'm going to write some stories because that just feels a lot more comfortable in this environment. This is one of the kind of distinguishing characteristics between MFA and NYC is that NYC is always looking for the best new gigantic thing, but I actually think that because short stories are always going to be easier both to workshop and also to teach in a creative writing class, because you can delve into them on a kind of line and kind of workshop level, that, you know, short stories, I think, have a real chance to become sort of canonical within schools.
Well, you moved to New York City. You started magazine N Plus One and then published your own first novel, The Art of Fielding. This is a book that you worked on for close to a decade. You sold it. You're one of those great literary success stories. You sold your book for, you know, substantially over $500,000. And it was a great novel. But that's a lot of money. That's a big advance for a first novel. And I'm just wondering, that's also a piece of how the literary marketplace has changed, right? There are just these huge advances, even for first-time novels.
Yes. I think what we have seen is the middle getting squeezed out a little bit. In publishing, you have publishers often kind of laying big bets on books that they think are going to sell a lot of copies, and then, you know, giving very small advances to a lot of other novels. And, you know, so the phenomenon of the paperback original, where a lot of books now, you know, don't come out in hardcover, they come straight into paperback, you know, is a way for publishers to make a much smaller investment in a new writer.
So that must put a lot of pressure on would-be writers if they feel like to actually make a living doing this, they need the big advance, but that puts a lot of pressure on them because they've got to write a book that at least a publisher thinks they can sell a lot of copies of.
Exactly. Or they have to teach on the side, you know. And so here's the way I think in the lives of most published writers, you know, the way that these two cultures function, you know, the route for a lot of people today is to publish books with a New York publishing house and obviously, you know, do everything you can to make those books as successful as possible. But it's very hard to make a living through your advances and your royalties. You know, so I think a lot of people are making a little bit of money from the publication of their books and then, you know, and then have a steady income as a teacher in an MFA program.
Or there was a piece that's kind of going viral among writers that I know right now. I think it was in Salon, maybe. The headline is, you know, I'm a writer. Am I being subsidized by my husband? So that's the other route, right? You are lucky enough to be married to, whether it's a husband or wife or partner, who has the job that really earns the family's money, and then you can afford to write, you know, on the side. The larger question is, can anybody actually afford to be a writer anymore?
One way in which I always kind of want to shift this conversation a little bit is to say, I think that actually, like, now is really, it's always been incredibly difficult to be a writer. It's always been incredibly difficult to make a living as a writer. And if you go back to, you know, what's considered the kind of heyday of New York publishing in the 30s and 40s, you see very quickly that the writers were just being screwed like crazy all the time. You know, all of these little family-owned publishing houses were just sort of unscrupulous. The editors were making a living by squeezing the writers at both ends. And it was hard to make a living as a writer. And it continued to be hard in the 50s and the 60s and 70s. And, you know, and it continues to be very hard today. So the kind of dynamics of the specific economic situation have changed. But I don't think people should make the mistake of thinking that there was actually a rosier time for writers. I don't think that the conditions for writers are so bad as to discourage great work from being done. I do think that writers will write the books that readers demand, I think. And I think we as a culture could maybe do better as readers as well as writers in kind of demanding important books.
Chad Harbach is a co-founder and co-editor of the literary journal N Plus One. His essay on MFA culture appears in a new book called MFA versus NYC.